In and out of situations, the tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for answers that I need. Questions become clear, and for a sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. His love the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in hours of distress.
In the presence of the King.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Lemon. And let's take our Bibles, if we could, tonight. Church, find your place in three passages of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs 23, Ecclesiastes 9. If you would, please, Proverbs 4, Proverbs 23, Ecclesiastes 9. I want to preach to you while you're finding your place tonight. Obviously, there's no way you can exhaust the subject of wisdom. But I want to preach to you tonight about the wealth of wisdom. The wealth of wisdom. If you'll find your place, Proverbs 4 and verse number 7, and then Proverbs 23 and verse 23, and then we'll go over and read a passage out of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. All right, would you stand with me? Thank you again for being here tonight. Let's open our Bibles. Let's take a look and see what God has for us this evening as we open the Word of God up. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 7. It'll be familiar to you, and then we'll read Proverbs 23:23 as well. The Scripture says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, I want you to notice this because it's important to know. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the important thing. It's the thing that will carry you through life. You see, a lot of people get things all twisted. They think their talents and abilities are going to carry them through life. That's not what's going to carry them. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Look in verse number 6. It says, forsake her, wisdom, forsake her not. It said, she shall preserve thee. It says, love her and she shall keep thee. Look at verse number 8. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Boy, it sounds like whoever this person it's talking about here is, well, really has some benefits for whatever you have, whatever it is, if you get it. Well, the Scripture says it's wisdom. Turn, if you would, Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. Now, when you read this verse, most of us are familiar with the first part, but I want you to notice what else it says here in Proverbs 23:23. Once again, the Scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. Now, we've heard that quoted a lot of times, haven't we? Buy the truth and sell it not. But did you notice, if you keep reading, it also says wisdom and instruction and understanding. So not only do we buy truth and sell it not, he says, you know what you need to also purchase? Wisdom. You need to get it and don't sell it. Why? It's the principal thing. It's the thing that you can call on over and over and over in your life. Well, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and I'm going to read you just a very short little story right here in the middle of chapter 9 that Solomon just kind of throws out here as kind of a teachable moment. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 13. He says, this wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. Now listen to the story he tells. He said, there was a little city, a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. He said, now there was in the there was found in a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet, no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Now look at verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Now, I want you to notice in this little story here that we're going to use as kind of our text verses the wealth of wisdom that Solomon draws our attention to in a little story, how that he says how wisdom overcame some of the greatest obstacles that an individual can be faced with. Now, Father, we do pray tonight that you would teach us, Holy Ghost of God, from the Word of God tonight, open our hearts, our minds. And Lord, I pray that every member of our church, every person that is attending tonight, came prepared to receive the truth and receive the preaching of your word. And we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be in church together tonight. Bless us, and may we leave tonight with our hearts stirred in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Solomon, when given the opportunity in his life to choose whatever he desired of God, chose the one thing that was not visible and the one thing that was not materialistic. Solomon chose wisdom over everything that he could have had in this world. Now, let me say this. I wonder how many of us, if God came to us and said, ask of me what you will, and I'll do it to you. I wonder how many of us said, oh, I know what I want. I know. Wisdom. I want wisdom. No, you know what most of us would say? I want a new car. I want a new house. I want an all-expense vacation around the world. I want $1 million. I wonder how many believers would ask for wisdom. And yet Solomon said, I want wisdom over all that he could have had in the world. You see, church, he chose that one thing that probably never crosses most of the minds of people when seeking the favor of God. Do you ever ask for wisdom? Do you ever seek God's desire, the wisdom of God from above? You see, that wisdom is simply this, church. It's the right use of knowledge. It's many times what you know. It's putting to practice what you already know in such a way that produces fruit. It's exercising that faculty up in your head by discerning or judging things in such a way that's most just, that's proper, and that's useful. You see, it's Solomon in his wisdom. We don't have time to go and give you examples of everything that Solomon did as far as using wisdom. But the Bible is full of things that Solomon did when he exercised his wisdom. Let me ask you this. Where did Solomon acquire his wisdom from? Where did he get his wisdom from in order to be able to gain the attention of so many people, including dignitaries from around the world, knew about Solomon's wisdom? Well, Solomon obtained his wisdom probably the same way that you and I have to obtain wisdom today. I think he probably got it in several ways. I want you to jot some of these things down. You can look and study them out later on. First of all, I think Solomon obtained wisdom through learning and education. I said, I think he obtained wisdom through learning and education. So many of you young people say, I hate school. I don't want to read. I don't want to learn. You're missing out on wisdom. You're missing out on some wisdom that God wants you to have. And I think that through education and through learning, let me ask you this, do you think Solomon went to some of the best schools? You think that Solomon probably had an opportunity to learn under some of the best teachers? Yeah, probably did. And it sounds like he might have listened. You see, Solomon asked for wisdom. God didn't say, okay, here it's coming. The next rain, it's going to rain wisdom down on top of you. No, he got it the same way that you and I get wisdom, through learning and education. May I remind you that there is, if you'll remember, in Proverbs 23 and verse 23, it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Last time I figured out when I went to the store and bought something, it was going to cost me something, right? So if I went to the store and bought a case of water, you know what? They won't let me walk out of there with it without paying for it. I had to buy it. It cost me something. I had to give something for it. Well, I think that Solomon gained wisdom through learning and education. Guess where you're going to gain wisdom from? Learning and education. May I say number two? I think that Solomon gained wisdom through life experiences. Through life experiences. You see, we learn a lot by what we see. We can gain wisdom by what we hear. We can gain wisdom through trials, through testing. All of these ways we have the opportunity for wisdom to come our way. So we can get it through learning and education. We can get it through life experiences. Number three, we can gain wisdom through the mistakes and failures of others. We can get wisdom through the mistakes and failures of others. Listen, folks, I was thinking about this today, and you know, if you're going down the road, okay, you look at a sign, and the sign says, bridge out 100 yards. and you got four or five cars in front of you, and you're driving down the road, and you see their taillights, and you just see them go and disappear. And you see the next one go and disappear. You thought, man, where are them cars going? And then, listen, after five cars go off the ravine and die and crash and roll down the hill, what do you think you're going to do? When you get to that point, are you going to be the exception to the rule? No, you're going to go the same way and the same place that they went. You see, it's not going to make a difference. You ought to learn from other people's mistakes. Now, how are you going to do that? Listen. How are you going to do that? See. Watch. Why do we think that we are the only one that's going to make it? That it doesn't matter what comes our way. It doesn't matter. We can go through everything that all these other people, they failed, but I'll never fail. Isn't it amazing how we get that Mr. Invincible mentality? That it's not going to happen to us. May I say to you tonight, wisdom will keep you from going down that trail. That's the only way that you'll be spared. You go down that trail, you will find that you will have the same fate as others. By the way, you ought to learn from your own mistakes as well. Number four, I said that you get wisdom through learning and education, through life experiences, through mistakes and failures of others, and then may I say, through a close walk with God. There's some wisdom that you're going to have to get that God's going to give you. There's some things that, listen, wouldn't it be great, you young parents, that when that first child is born, that all of a sudden God just changed the plan on everything, and from now on, every child born is born with an instruction manual tied to their toe. Wouldn't that be great? Man, you that way you just take, here's the perfect way to raise this kid. In today's world, here's the instruction manual. You follow these, you will have a productive kid. Wouldn't that be great? It don't work that way, though. So where are you going to get wisdom to parent your children? You're going to have to get it from God. But by the way, can I say also you can get wisdom by watching, by listening, and watching things that don't work and listening things that do work. See, you can get wisdom through a close walk with God. You see, there's going to be some aspects of wisdom that will come only through an intense walk with the Lord and the study of the Scriptures. You see, wisdom can come from many, many different ways and in many different forms. Solomon said, I want wisdom. And by the way, you know in James chapter 1, verse number 5? You see, we got to keep in mind that in James 1, verse number 5, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of who? Okay. Now that verse is very interesting, and I quote that verse all the time. But did you know that in that verse, when you read James chapter 5, the Lord said, yes, I will give you wisdom if you want it. He just didn't say through which means he would give it or impart to you that wisdom. I said he didn't say which means he would give it to you or impart that wisdom to you. Because for some of us, you know what he said? Great, I'll give you wisdom through life experiences. Yeah, I'll give you wisdom. Just watch. You can learn from some other people's mistakes. You see, we cry out, Lord, give me wisdom. And here's what we do. We go to our favorite Chinese restaurant and get a fortune cookie. Oh, God has answered my prayer. You're not going to get wisdom through a fortune cookie. Oh, by the way, for you Dove chocolate lovers, you're not going to get it on a Dove chocolate wrapper either. Now, what I'm saying to you is that's where we want to get wisdom from. We want to, Lord, give me wisdom. And then we start looking at all these little things that God says, I'm not working through that way. You're going to gain wisdom. If you're going to gain wisdom, you're going to have to learn and get educated. You're going to learn through life experiences. You're going to learn by watching and looking and learning from others' mistakes and your own mistakes. And then he said, oh, by the way, then you're going to get wisdom through the Word and through a close walk with me. You see, wisdom, church, is one of those Christian commodities that we do not invest in very much because we don't think that we'll need it right now. Right? So we don't invest in it. We don't study. We don't learn because we're thinking, hey, I'm only 17. What do I need wisdom for? Hey, it's time to have fun. It's time to do this. Why do I need wisdom? And then what happens? A couple gets married. Oh, man, we're young. What do we need wisdom for? See, it's just one of those Christian commodities that we don't think we need right now, so why invest in it? It's a waste of time, right? What do we need it when we're young? Well, I tell you one thing. If I just had just a little dab of it when I was young, I'd have been grateful. To use one of Dr. Smith's things, listen, I'm telling you, when my wife and I got married, we were dumber than a rock. Hey, weren't you? Hey, I wasn't thinking about wisdom. Hey, you know what you were thinking about? Same thing was, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's basically the philosophy. You see, we don't think that we're going to need it. You see, by the way, wisdom, we thought, that's just only for old people. Right? That's only for my grandpa who's sitting in the rocking chair on the front porch with a piece of grass in his mouth, chewing on a piece of grass, rocking back and forth. That's only people that need wisdom. May I say to you, we all need wisdom. We all, there's some wealth in wisdom. Now, wisdom is one of those things that draws interest. Because see, you not only can learn from someone's mistakes, you can learn not just from learning and not just from education, but wisdom is one of those things that draws interest on itself. You can learn and learn and learn and learn over and over and over again. Now, here's what you do. Once you begin to gain wisdom, wisdom's one of those things that you begin to deposit. You begin to deposit in your wisdom bank when you obtain it, listen now, for use later when you need it. So what you do is you begin to gain wisdom, you begin to gather wisdom and deposit it into that memory bank, deposit it into that bank of wisdom. You see, a man of understanding will learn and deposit as he sojourns through life, knowing that at some point he is going to need to make a withdrawal at some point in some area, in some decision that he needs to make in life. Did you hear what I said? I said you deposit because at some point you're going to need to make a withdrawal. But what if you go to your account and ain't nothing there because you hadn't been depositing? Guess what we do then? We make stupid decisions, don't we? And then we say, whoa, God, why did you let me down? He said, I've been trying to get you to deposit all this time and you haven't been depositing. And so what we do is we make foolish decisions. Now, think about this for just a moment. Wisdom is like men. You know what we do? We go to Home Depot or we go to Lowe's and we're looking around shopping in the tool section, and we see a neat little tool and thought, man, live, you know what? If I'd have had that tool the other day, man, it wouldn't have taken me near as long to do. So here's what we do. We buy the tool. We don't need the tool. We needed it several weeks ago. We don't need it right now, but you know what we do? We buy it because guess what we know? We know we're going to need it when? Again in the future. Because I promise you, it's going to happen again. So what we do is even though we don't need the tool right now, we need it a few weeks ago, we know we're going to need it again in the future. So you know what we do? We go ahead and make the purchase. We buy it so that we'll have it. So the next time this particular thing happens, I got the tool. Now, you understand where I'm going? What I'm saying is you've got to be able to deposit. You've got to be able to retain wisdom. You may not need it right now, but you listen to this preacher, you will need it. And there are going to be some decisions and there are going to be some areas of your life that you're going to say, man, I need to make a withdrawal out of the bank of wisdom. And man, life, I hadn't made any deposits. And then, boy, you're going to be in a pickle. Because, you see, it's not the easiest thing to grab the phone and call the preacher all the time or grab the phone and call mom and dad all the time. You know, sometimes it's not as easy to do that kind of thing. Now, I have a little story tonight. Let me move quickly. I have a little story tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It's a neat little story. Just right in the middle here, Solomon just says, I want to tell you all a little story about wisdom. Now, he says, here's the story. There was this little city, and there was just a few people in that city. But this mean, ugly, nasty king decided he didn't have enough, so he came against this little city with not many people there. And the scripture says he besieged the city. He built bulwarks around the city. And I'm sure all the people in the city thought, oh man, we're doomed. It's over. But then Solomon said, there was a wise, poor man in that city. Now, it said, by his wisdom, and through his wisdom, he delivered the city. And everybody was excited because they had been delivered. But it says, isn't it amazing how exciting everybody got? They forgot the wise man. They forgot the poor man who saved the city by his wisdom. Now, some people think that this is a story that Solomon may have learned in school, and that goes all the way back to Judges chapter 9. I want you to go back there for just a moment. It may be, it may not be, but it's a good story. It makes a good application here of what I want to say. Judges chapter 9. Remember an old king by the name of Abimelech? He was kind of going through and pillaging towns and taking over places and running people out of their homes. And I want you to pick up reading with me, if you would, in Judges 9, verse 50. Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and gat them up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower, and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. Now stop just a moment. This is important, because you need to understand what the king was doing. Here's a tower. All the people on the top, he said, it's going to be like taking candy from a baby. We're going to burn them out. You say, what was his mistake? His mistake was he got too close to the tower. Now, wait a minute. Kings don't normally do this. They kind of sit back on their horse and watch. No, he wanted to take personal. He wanted to get involved in this one personally. So they cut wood, and the Bible says that he began that he came to the tower and fought against it and went hard unto the door. Look at verse 53. And a certain woman. May I say, insert here from Ecclesiastes 9, a poor wise man? Doesn't even tell her what her name is. Can I say in Ecclesiastes 9, Solomon doesn't say what this guy's name is, just says poor wise man. But it says, and a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man. He said, what did it do? She knocked the fire out of him, busted his head open. And he called a young man, his armor bearer, and said unto them, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew me. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, what did they do? You know who saved the people? A certain woman. Nobody knew. Hey, first of all, they went up in this tower. And again, I don't know what tower they went up in, but I always like to ask questions. What's that piece of millstone doing up there anyway? Who brought it up there? Oh, probably a couple of church kids playing. You know, probably kids playing after church and just picked up a piece of millstone and chasing each other, took it all the way up there. They got turned, I ain't taking it down, threw it down. God said, leave it right there. I'll use that someday. Here's Abimelech. Remember in our story, Ecclesiastes 9, a great king came against a little city with a few people, and a poor wise man delivered the city because through his wisdom. Now, can you see all these people in this tower? He's burning us! He's going to burn us out! Can you see people thinking, why, this is our only chance? Ah! and they just start jumping out. And this woman thought, just thinking, man, I ain't going to jump out. She looks down there and she sees a piece of millstone. She thought, I wonder if I picked this up. Where's that? Let me just, listen, I think when she went to the window, I'm not sure she ever intended to drop it on the king. She's just going to drop it on somebody's head. It just happened that she thought, that looks like the king. Come on over here. He got a little bit close to the wall. She dropped that millstone. I mean, cracked him right on top of the head with it. And man, I'm telling you, listen, he's over there laughing. He's trying to burn him out. Next thing he knows, he's seeing stars, blood running down his face. And somebody said, hey, king, it was a woman. She busted you in the head. It is? Where's my armor bearer? Stick me through. Let somebody say a woman slew me. Now, I don't know if that's the story that Solomon is referencing here, but they sure go simultaneously. They sure parallel each other. Now, whether it is or not, the truth is still there. And the truth is that what prevailed in the tower there, what prevailed in Thebes, what prevailed over a great king like Abimelech, was just a little certain woman who just used her noggin. She wasn't up there with some kind of machine gun. She wasn't up there, with some kind of artillery throwing stuff. No, she just looked around. Ha! She didn't know who she was going to get, but she was going to get somebody. If she was going, she was taking somebody with her. And she was going to drop that millstone on somebody's head. It just happened to be the king. And all of a sudden, they look down. King, your head, it's twice its size. He dies. And they thought, oh my goodness, our king's dead. Where'd they go? They departed. In Ecclesiastes 9, all the men in this little city obviously thought, okay, we're just going to fight to the death. But here's a poor little wise man. You know what he did? Maybe through life experience, maybe through learning and education, maybe just learning by just opening his eyes and looking at other people's mistakes. Maybe he got on his knees and said, oh God, would you please deliver us from this great king? Well, go back to Ecclesiastes 9. Let me give a couple of three things and we're done. Okay? The wealth of wisdom. Look at it if you would. He said there was a little city and a few men within it. There came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Here's number one. Desperate times, listen to me, do not require desperate means. Let me say that again. I said desperate times do not require desperate means. Now, here's a city. Great king comes up against it. And by the way, that word desperate just means extreme. It just means reckless. Or it just means without care of safety. You see, all of us are going to have desperate times, right? May I say to you, you know what you better have in the bank? You better have some wisdom locked up in there somewhere so that you can make some withdrawals during that desperate time. There was a little city, few men, great king. Would everybody agree with me? This looks like a desperate situation and time for these people. Little city, few men, great king, bulwarks, besieged. Yeah, this looks like a desperate situation, right? But they had one old boy that was in this little city that said, hey, it's desperate times. It doesn't require desperate means. Hey, it's not time to hit the panic button. I imagine that most of them were saying, how are we going to overcome this great king? I wonder if some of them in the tower there were thinking, what are we going to do? It's Abimelech. He's already pillaged every village he's been in. He's already killed all the people. What are we going to do? Woman looks down. I don't know what we're going to do. I tell you one thing. I'm going to get me one of them. And she just happened to get the number one. And you know what? Save the people. Here's a little poor wise man. Desperate times didn't require desperate means. You see, the city was besieged, the Bible says. That word besieged literally means to surround with the purpose of causing one to surrender. They probably looked out there and think, listen, they're all around us. They're everywhere. How are we going to escape? You ever thought about that? You ever looked around in your life and you thought, all of these problems, all of these situations we're surrounded, how are we ever going to escape? How are we going to get out of this? The city was besieged. The scripture says that he built, this great king built bulwarks, fortifications, entrenchments around the city. You see, if wisdom has been deposited into your wisdom bank, then desperate times requires not desperate means, it just requires a simple withdrawal. Here's this poor wise man. Desperate times, people screaming, oh God, we're going to die. He doesn't panic. Why? Because desperate times don't necessarily mean that it requires desperate means. So whatever he did, and by the way, did you notice that in the scripture there, Solomon in Ecclesiastes 9 never said what he did? It just said he delivered the city by his wisdom. So whatever he did, that wisdom that he used in that particular situation delivered him. You think your old boy might have made some deposits in the bank of wisdom? Obviously he did, because he thought, hey folks, just calm down just a minute. Let me think here just a minute. I remember my daddy used to be in situations like this, and he told me what to do. Let me think just a minute. You reckon maybe he learned from daddy? You think maybe that he learned through life experiences? You think he may have thought, hey, I got it, guys. All we got to do is wait till the king comes close. I got a millstone. I'm going to clonk him right in the head with it. So I tell you what y'all do. Y'all draw him in and I'll get him. It doesn't say what kind of wisdom he uses. It just said that he delivered the city by his wisdom. So may I say, number one, desperate times do not require desperate means. Number two, look at verse 15. Now there was found in it, that's the city, a poor wise man. Did you notice what preceded the word wise man? Poor. Here's the second thing. Anyone can secure it. Anybody. Anybody can secure wisdom. Here it was, a poor man had gotten a hold of it. Listen, wisdom is available to all and cannot be purchased with money, but rather must be purchased with time, suffering sometimes, study, faithfulness. These are the things that you buy wisdom with. You see, you get it maybe through learning and education or through life experiences. And this poor wise man saved a city, defeated a king. And yet no one even realized that he was the one responsible. Or if they did, no one recognized it. Did you notice it said he delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man? It's almost like here he is, he came up with the idea, or he did something, but nobody recognized that he did. You know what? Some of the wisest people I've ever known didn't really think they were wise. Have you ever noticed that? Some of the wisest people you ever met, they don't think they're wise. Why? Because they just do it because they've learned from life experience. Because they've been educated or learned from others' mistakes, or they have a walk with God, they never think they're wise. Boy, isn't it amazing how much wisdom we get from people like that. You see, nobody recognized that this was the guy responsible for delivering the city. You see, again, may I say, it's never revealed what wisdom the poor man withdrew from his bank. But that's not the point. The fact is that he relied on his wisdom. He relied on the things that he had deposited in life. So when desperate times come, it didn't require desperate means. It just required wisdom. Wisdom. Here's number three. Number three. I said desperate times do not require desperate means. Number two, anyone can secure wisdom. Number three, wisdom is greater than mortal weapons. Wisdom is greater than mortal weapons. Look, if you would, down in verse 18. Solomon concluded, he said, wisdom is better than weapons of war. You know, it almost sounds like that God said, it doesn't matter whether the enemy has weapons of war. If you've got wisdom, you've got the upper hand. He said, don't make sense. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things about God doesn't make sense. Why? Because his ways aren't your ways. His thoughts aren't your thoughts. His thoughts and his ways are high above your thoughts and my thoughts, your ways and my ways. You see, oh, there's a lot of things that don't make sense. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here real quick. Turn to turn to Ecclesiastes 7. Turn back just a few chapters to Ecclesiastes 7 for just a moment. Okay, Ecclesiastes 7 in chapter 7, verse number 12. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. Listen to this now. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. You think that woman in the tower, just using her noggin a little bit, throw a millstone out on the king's head, think she saved life? Yeah, saved hers too. You know what this little story presents? Solomon said, hey, all these guys are screaming, yelling, they're ready with their bayonets. They're ready, man, to just let them break through the wall. We'll just start stabbing. We'll just start slinging the axe and stuff. And the poor wise man said, we ain't going to need none of that. He said, well, how did he save the city? I don't know. It just says wisdom saved it. It might have been that he got some wisdom from God. It might have been he got on his knees and prayed. Look at that. Look in verse number 19, same chapter. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Isn't it amazing that over and over and over again we find the strength is not in mortal weapons, the strength is in wisdom. It's in wisdom. You see, wisdom is greater than anger. When people, you listen, people do something, first thing we do is we're going to get angry. I'm going to... You know what? Don't do that. Just be wise. Be wise. Wisdom's greater than anger. May I say to you, wisdom's greater than an evil tongue. You know what we want to do? You're not going to talk to me that way. And what we do is we talk back worse than they talk to us. You're not going to get away with that. And boy, we just let the old tongue flap. Seems like James said something about that. Something like, you know what? It's on fire of hell. That's an uncontrolled. That's not thinking. You see, that's not using wisdom. Wisdom's greater than anger. Wisdom's greater than evil tongue. Wisdom's greater than vengeance. Because does not the Scripture teach us that God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? You see, there's just some things you're going to have to let God take care of. Because if you try to take care of them, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble if you try. Wisdom's greater than vengeance. Wisdom's greater than the enemy. Can I say to you tonight, church, that even Satan cannot break through and steal the wisdom deposited in your bank, in your wisdom bank. You deposit in there. You see, by the way, can I just say this and I'll be done. In case you're wondering how a man like Solomon, who had deposited so much wisdom, could fall so far away as he did at the end of his life. You say, what did he do, preacher? Well, let's start off by having 1,000 wives. And yet the Bible says that those wives drew his heart away from God. And he began to not only allow them to worship idols, he began to do it himself. Now, can I ask you something? Wait a minute. I don't know. Is your brain fried right now? How can this man, who deposited so much wisdom in his bank and in his mind, allow this to happen? How can it be? To me, it seems very simple. When desperate times came, you know what Solomon didn't do? Didn't make any withdrawals. So guess what? He ended up with 1,000 wives. He ended up allowing idolatry and just, why? No withdrawals. Can I ask you this? What good is it to you to deposit money into your savings account or IRA if you have no intentions of drawing it out? If you're going to put it there, doesn't it make sense you draw it out? The reason they call it an individual retirement account is so that when you retire, you draw it out. There's a reason that you deposit. You don't need it now. When are you going to use it? Later. So all I'm asking you to do is, next time you go to Home Depot, buy you a tool you don't need. put it in your toolbox. And every time you think about this, you open that toolbox, you look at that tool and say, man, life, I'm going to use that one day. I promise you I'm going to use that tool one day. Now, the thing about it is, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to keep the wife from taking it out, and it's still in the packet, and sell it in a garage sale. Because let me tell you something, the day that you let her sell that tool in a garage sale is the next week something's going to happen, and you're going to need that tool. See, sometimes desperate means do, or desperate times do require desperate situations. I'm just kidding. But think about it. There's some wealth in wisdom. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say, preacher, no question, I'm saved, I've been born into the